The travelers are returning.
Cease review.
What a trip, Bones. Orion at the dawn of its civilization. Even just observing, not touching anything for fear of changing some piece of history. What's the matter? Bones?
Who's he, Jim?
What do you mean, who's he? You know Mr. Spock.
Afraid I don't, Jim.
Hey, I've seen this one. This is a classic. This is where Ralph dresses up as the man from space.
What do you mean you've seen this? It's brand new.
Yeah, well, I saw it on a rerun.
It's a rerun.
You'll find out.
You know, Marty, you look so familiar to me. Do I know your mother?
Yeah, I think maybe you do.
Suppose an unscrupulous man were to gain certain knowledge of man's future. Such a man could manipulate key industries, stocks, and even nations. And in so doing, change what must be. And if it is changed, Captain, you and I, and all that we know, might not even exist.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt?
Wait! I'll tell.
I knew it would work. All right, give it to me.
The combination is... One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's the stupidest combination I ever heard in my life! That's the kind of thing an idiot would have on his luggage!
And a fine June morning to you, Friar Cook.
Yes, it is a fine... fine morning here in sunny California, Rabbi Dave.
It's raining here. Nobody cares. I don't know why we...
I wish it rained here.
The only reason I'm excited about the rain is because my lawn is so crappy.
Yeah.
The ground is just so hard. So we knew we had to aerate it. So I went out this week. We went to the Home Depot and I said, well, just rent an aerator, right? Aerate my lawn. Because this is what you do. Mm-hmm. And I got down there and they're like, yeah, you can rent one. There's X amount of dollars, which wasn't unreasonable for X amount of hours. But you have to move it. We don't deliver it.
What? So unless you have, you have a truck.
I have a truck, but I'm one guy. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if I can lift this thing or unlift the thing or whatever. And then I started watching videos about how to use it. And I got this professional YouTube, Home Depot YouTube guy. Much like Tim Allen's character in the show that
Tool Time?
No, the one that just ended. Can't think of the name of it now. Where he's the guy for Outdoor Man or whatever. Anyway, it's kind of in that same vein. He does videos every week for Home Depot, and so they're showing him using this thing. And this guy's a professional at this stuff. And he's like, you got to be really careful with this thing because it will take off on you. I'm like, great, I don't need that. So what's the next?
I can see you going across the yard. Oh, there went the cat.
Yeah.
Oh, there went the neighbor's dog.
So what's the next option? The next option, Dave, is this thing called a tilling fork. You ever seen one of these? Looks like a giant fork.
Yeah, that's like an aerator that puts holes in there.
Right. And so you take it out in your yard and you stab it into the yard and you jump on it and you wiggle it back and forth.
We have one.
Okay, so guess what I did?
Didn't know what it was called.
For 2 hours the other day. Because I knew it was going to rain this weekend. I thought, well, I better get these holes in the ground now, which is when I discovered that the problem with my lawn is that it's baked. So it's worse than California, man. It's baked solid. Mm. So, which doesn't make any sense because I live in Washington. I don't know how the hell that happened. Anyway, so 2 hours I fought that and I finally just gave up and just did one section of the lawn. So I rationalized this to my wife. I said, I'll just do one section of the lawn. I'll do it a section at a time.
So now that it's raining, you have no excuse. You have to go out there and do it now.
Right. And so then I fertilized and everything. And so now the ground softened up, probably tomorrow I'll go out and do the rest of it. But I want to see if it works because I'm tired of having this yellow lawn. I left California so I could have green grass again, which I realize, mm-hmm. of course, is a sign of white colonialism and white privilege to have a green lawn. But
it is racist.
There you go. It's purely racism on my part to want my lawn to look as good as my neighbor's, I guess. Yeah. Well, a year ago this time, Rod, we had passed the 15 days to flatten the curve. Do you remember this?
I do remember that.
Do you remember actually passing the 15 days? I mean, building up to the 15 days, it was like 15 days to flatten the curve. That's all it's got to be, 15 days. We're just going to shut everything down for 15 days, and that will save the universe.
I don't recall seeing any media coverage of that per se, but I will say there were some memes, and I know some conservative radio people and made comments about passing the 15 days.
Right. So when the 15 days was up, everybody was like, okay, we can come out now, see our shadow and move on, right?
Yeah. It's like the Groundhog Day.
Except that never happened.
No.
I don't remember specifically what happened, but it was kind of like one of those things where, oh, cases are still going up. I know we were having a conversation about this because I went back and looked. Well, of course cases are going up, you morons, because we are now doing more testing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like they knew that was going to happen. It was almost like it was planned that way. We'll see almost. if we do more testing, we'll have more positive results. The thing will go up and we can do this insanely stupid thing for longer. It was almost it struck us like that back then. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It seemed like it was going to go on forever and ever.
And ever. And it pretty much did. I mean, by mid-June, it was we were starting to talk about, well, let's go to phase one where it's just essential businesses only. And then we had this whole discussion about what's an essential business. And then we started talking about, well, maybe we can go to phase two. But we didn't get to phase two here.
Going into a color coding thing. Right.
Yeah. Down there, you guys had that. It's like the terrorist threat. What's the terrorist threat today?
Purple was the worst color. So yeah. I'm like, why is purple the worst color? Why wouldn't you make that red?
Well, because purple sucks. I mean, let's face it.
There's some other colors that I would rather have.
Mauve, chartreuse. I mean, if you're going to do a color code system,
salmon.
Let's really do a color code system. So they started doing this phase two thing, which we didn't actually hit until I think March or April of this year before mm-hmm. they finally said, okay, restaurants can open to 25% capacity. Businesses were closing, shutdowns, all this stuff. Which now in retrospect is the talk of the day, of course, is that all of this may not have actually been necessary. All of this may have been an overreaction.
You think?
Which got me to wondering, because Rod sent me a text the other day saying, Dave, here's another Netflix show that you should watch.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's all I do.
Well, you were talking about getting back into streaming again, so.
I was. Yeah. I did, and I did finish that show, by the way. Hey, predictably, the czar got killed. Shocker.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the problem with watching historical docudramas is it's like there's no suspense. I mean, they tried.
Was the acting good at least at that point?
It actually pretty much was. It was actually pretty – had they done it just as a regular show, I think it would have been okay, which I understand there is a movie called Nicholas and Alexander. Pat the Lawyer was texting me about that going, well, you should watch this now. Like, does it end the same way?
No, it's a surprise ending.
There's a surprise twist at the end. She's not Anastasia. She didn't survive. We already knew that. Anyway, that's a call back to last week's show for those of you who might have missed that. You want to go back? So anyway, he sends me this other show, which I immediately rejected outright because the topic of the show gives me massive headaches.
It's really not that bad. Time traveling.
Au contraire. I must disagree with you. Respectfully, but I must disagree with you.
It's just a different take on time travel.
So I went and watched like the first 15 minutes of it.
Okay.
And I was so confused.
Well, yeah, because they don't get you don't get to explain anything until the end of the first episode. You start getting an understanding as to what's going on.
Right, but give me a Dune like they do in Dune, where they give me a narrator that tells me what's going on.
It's not documentary.
We have to show you this because you know the spice is whatever, and but stay with us. You'll get to the point. I mean, I do that all the time. You know, start off with some.
You
weird
want me
tangent.
To record one for you? I can for that show.
Record one what?
Like introductory narration.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah. It would probably, you know, if it had a director's commentary or something on it, that would be helpful. Because I'm watching this show, the first 15 minutes of this show, and
it's called The Travelers, by the way, or Travelers.
I am so freaking confused because time and all I can think is, I don't know if it's the show that's confusing me. I obviously know what's going on, but I don't know why. So this time travel thing just gives me freaking headaches. And I mean, this goes back to when I was a kid watching Star Trek, Rod. Mm-hmm. If we go back in time and change just one little thing, that's how much it annoys me. I whisper it. We go back and change one little thing. You might not exist.
Yeah.
If you go back in time and your dad
in this timeline
beats up the bully, you go from being a lower middle class yabo to being a rich guy with a truck and the pretty girl, right? Yeah. 1.21 gigawatts will do that. Ay, ay, ay. It just it gives, and then you start getting into the hows and whys of time travel. And look, I'm a big Einstein guy. I love the theory of relativity. I get the whole time expanding, slowing down. I get all that. But that's relativity. It's not time travel. Right?
Yeah.
It's perspective. It's from my viewpoint. This is what it looks like, not actually me going forward or backwards in time, a la Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, well, the Travelers, they send the consciousness back in time. They're not sending bodies. They're sending the consciousness.
Okay, see, now I'm even more headachey. I'm going to need an entire bottle of Tylenol today. Because, okay, if you could go back in time, let's start there. If you could go back in time, how do you do it?
How do you do it?
Yeah.
If
what's
you
your
could.
What's your preferred methodology for doing this?
I'd rather have like a time capsule that takes you back somewhere.
Okay, so like a DeLorean,
yeah,
a spaceship, something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be smart about it, though, and it can't look like a DeLorean when you're going back to, like, the 1950s. You've got to make it look like something of that time.
Yeah, massive plot hole here. Nobody's going to notice this futuristic-looking car straight out of the comic books. I am Spock from I am Darth Vader from Planet Vulcan. nobody's going to notice that, right?
No, nobody.
Contamination suit, radiation suit. Anyway, point being. All right, so my preferred method would be, I think, just the transporter. I'd like to just be able to snap my fingers and go. Not have
and
to
go back that way.
Yeah, not have to go through any weird power grids or anything. I know this is impossible. I get that. But let's assume that buried deeply in the pages of Encyclopedia Britannica is some methodology for doing this, and I just happen to stumble across it someday. Where would you go?
Where would I go?
Right.
Well,
anywhere in the last year, maybe.
The question is, can I come back? Because if I can come back,
yeah,
that makes a whole heck of a lot of difference. Because if I'm stuck there,
yet another Star Trek episode.
I'm not going to go back to places that doesn't have running water. And
would you go back a year?
Yeah, I might go back a year. I mean, I might go back to see what my parents are doing when they're younger. Smack them upside the head.
See, I'm not sure I'd want to know that, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on, but
sure.
I'm not sure I'd want to know what I get the weird feeling I really don't want to know my parents when they were younger.
No.
Sorry, Dad, Mom, especially today. I just have that feeling that I wouldn't want to know them. All right, so let's do away with all that. Let's just say, sure. Okay, you could go back a year.
I'd go June back and I'd smack Governor Newsom side the head with a pie. Whatever happened to those pie people?
I don't know. Where are they when you need them? Yeah. Well, would that change anything?
I don't know.
See, this
because it's really not about the virus. I mean, that's where I've come on to the side of, that it is really about power and they're maintaining it, right?
Which is what I believed from the beginning. I really have believed that. I know I haven't always been clear about that, but that's what I believed from the beginning. Yeah. This had nothing to do with the virus. The virus is a convenience, a useful idiot, as it were. But it is about power. And and more importantly, Rod, it's about discovered power. Again, when Republicans are in the White House and in control of the Congress, federalism comes off the table. I mean, federalism goes on the table. When Democrats are in control of things, then federalism goes off the table. Remember the Arizona immigration thing years ago? All right. Barack Obama's the president. Arizona passes a law saying we're going to do this about immigration. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's the federal government's position about business. As soon as you have a Democrat in office, then it becomes, well, the states can do what they want. And this is – these state governors have discovered so much power, and so many people have discovered so much power in all of this, that it's remarkable to me. The shutdown of the Wuhan conspiracy, the virus conspiracy thing,
yes,
doesn't amaze me as much as every time someone says, ooh, maybe we should rein in the governor's power on these things. That gets shut down way quicker than any discussion of the Wuhan virus conspiracy. And that goes back to June of last year. Mm-hmm. In June, March, June, April of last year, I was saying that. These governors have too much power.
When you post that online or anywhere,
right.
I've done that on Twitter. Hey, got to remove the powers from the governor.
Or have some check on it, or have some
sunset. It needs to be a sunset, right? Where it ends, and without them having to do anything with they don't. I mean, it just stops.
Right, and it can't be continuously reissued over and over again. There's got to be some power. We have that here. I mean, the governor is our governor has stepped in it big time with a completely unrelated issue. Right, he has been an absolute master. He has been Julius Caesar incarnate here for the last year. Absolute authority.
Yeah.
Well, then on some other issues, he got a bill passed that he really wanted about climate control. But much like Congress in Washington, D.C., our legislature isn't as clear-cut left-right as everybody says it is. Yes, we have a Democrat majority, but many of those Democrats are from areas that are not Democrat enclaves. So they have constituents that, even though they might be Democrats and not be Trump Republicans, don't necessarily favor everything that the Democrat Party as a general rule does, right?
Yeah.
So to get these bills passed, he had to make a whole bunch of compromises in the legislature. They had to make a whole, okay, if you'll vote for this, we'll do this, this, and this, right?
Yeah.
But our governor has line item veto. So he sat down to sign these bills and vetoed out all the compromises.
Oh, that SOB.
And Democrats are pissed. And they have made it clear that what do you expect us to do next time you want a compromise bill?
We're done. Yeah. So not going to play that game again.
This argument over restricting his powers, which hitherto has just been – it's been a non-starter. Yeah, the courts wouldn't even hear the case. I mean, the Republicans filed a lawsuit. Courts wouldn't even hear it. Nope, it's in your Constitution. Sorry. You have no basis for a case. But now Democrats are starting to say, maybe we need to rein this guy in a little bit.
Let's neuter the governor a little bit.
I'm in favor of that. Anyway, if I could go back a year and say that, would it change anything? I mean, even if I could time travel, what would change if we went back a year to the start or the finish of the 15 days? What could we change that would make any difference at all?
I don't know, because no one was listening to reason, because the media was all about fear, right? They wanted the ratings up. They wanted to drive this issue. They were showing how many deaths, all those convalescent hospital homes, deaths. It's horrible.
Right. And of course, Walmart, the big box stores, they're not going to want to change anything because they made record profits through this.
Sure. Buku money.
So even if you could go back, stand on the street corner and say, hey, I'm from the future and you guys are making a huge mistake. Number one, nobody would listen to you. Nobody would listen to you. Even the people that agree with you would go, yeah, not so sure that my prophet should be some guy who's claiming he's from the future. Nobody's going to
believe
that.
What you do is you go back with the lottery numbers, right? So you win multiple lotteries.
Okay, but if you do that, Rod, now you've changed something. Now you're rich. You're not, you know, Friar Cook. Now you're Pope Roderick the First.
Pope Roderick.
And that changes history, right? That changes the path of the future.
Well, okay. So the way you could do that is there have been tickets, right, that have not been claimed.
Right.
You could go back. You could claim that. You've changed it, but no one's claimed it.
But how do you know that person, you know? See, this is my problem with time travel. It's giving me a headache. How do you know you're not changing something that will change the future? See, even if we could go back and change it, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the future of this holds. No. We don't know what the ultimate outcome of this COVID thing is going to be. It may be, Rod, that the outcome of this is actually very positive, that people start to begin to recognize how much authority and ridiculous power government has to abuse and overuse. It may be that that's the case. Yes. Or it may be that we are just scared sheep and
they're positives because there's a lot more interest in homeschooling now, which okay. I think is a good thing and school choice. And yeah,
for me, I mean, quite frankly, I'm pretty antisocial as it is. That's why I was great. That's why I really enjoyed radio because I didn't have to actually interface with people in real life. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally I had to have them in the studio, but I tried to limit that as much as I could. And for me, this has been great. I mean, I love sitting here doing Zoom. I belong to all these podcast groups, and they're always complaining about Zoom sucks for interviews. Zoom, are you kidding me? This is great.
Yeah.
I don't talk to anybody. But I don't know. I don't know that anything – the conundrum of time travel is even if you could go back and change something, which you can, how do you know that – how do you know that that wasn't supposed to happen anyway? Right. Yeah. Isn't that what Scotty says to McCoy when they're doing the transparent aluminum? How do we know he didn't invent it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da. We changed something, but maybe we didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe what's his name was supposed to get the time traveler guy. I can't think of H.G. Wells. Maybe he was supposed to go back in time. I don't, it's so confusing and so weird to me that I get lost in these arguments about whether or not I could go back in time. And if I could go back in time, what could I change that would make any difference, especially now, even going back just a year, what could I possibly change that would matter?
I don't know that you'd be able to change anything.
You know. So here we sit.
Apart from doing things illegally, you know.
Like nobody was doing that anyway. We told you not to have meetings. We told you not to. We told you not to worship, and you worshipped.
Nobody's listening anymore, and that's actually it's a positive, I think, in my opinion. You know, because they did usurp powers. These emergency powers are horrible.
Could you do anything to stop the Fauci today?
I would have been far more sarcastic early on with him online.
Could anybody have done anything? I mean, if we could go back and change that, would anything have mattered?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Pie Brigade,
go run up, pie in the face.
Yeah. Where are those people when you need them? Because
seriously.
Could use them. Pie in the face. But what would that have changed in history? I mean, that's the thing. You just don't know. You know, you ride through the waves of history and you go, well, yeah. Well, it was the meme last year, but I'm tired of being involved in historical events. And everyone is. So I don't know that we could change anything. I think the most important thing here is to learn some lessons, and those lessons should be self-evident. Number one, government has too much power.
Yes.
Across the board. I don't care if you're
here,
talking about
here.
It doesn't matter what level you're talking about. Government has too much power with no checks on it. If there's a legitimate emergency, oh my God, somebody dropped a canister of nerve gas in downtown. Then yeah, we should react to that. But you don't have to convince people that nerve gas is a bad idea. when you have to use the entire authority and power of government to convince someone that a virus with a 99% survival rate, and yes, I've lost a friend of coronavirus, is a danger to them, that's too much power.
Yeah.
Too much authority, too much whatever. And nobody's even asking the question about your hospitals. Our hospitals were overwhelmed. I don't remember that actually happening.
What happened to all the ventilators that they said they knew were short on? And all of a sudden, that got real quiet real fast when they stopped. Yeah.
Turns out they didn't need them. What they needed were what they needed was liquid oxygen and an anal probe. No, I'm not kidding. Did you see that story this week?
You sent it to me. I saw
So it turns out mammals, that's you and I, can breathe through our ass. But it has to be liquid. So if instead if your oxygen is too low, instead of putting you on a ventilator, just shove a liquid oxygen bottle up your butt, and not only will you determine whether or not you're gay or not, but you might actually survive because you'll get oxygen into your system. Your body, I'm not making this up, folks. This is a scientific fact. This is science.
I'm not going to volunteer for that.
You can breathe through your ass if it's done right.
I exhale all the time.
Don't we all? Welcome back. It's What the Frock. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
And
hey, I have an idea.
Okay.
It just occurred to me how we, how I'd go back and change things. And it goes right in line with the WTF story for me of the week.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So we've got an Albuquerque story where there was a mayoral candidate.
Did you say Merrill?
I did. I'm trying to read this without my glasses. I probably should put them on. So basically, a mayoral hopeful in Albuquerque was punched at a campaign event by a man who was accused of flying a drone adorned with a dildo around the candidate while he was on stage talking. The dong copter is what they're calling it. I think that's what I would change.
Oh, God.
I'd go back and fly a dong copter in the face of Fauci.
Wait a minute. So the mayoral candidate got punched in the face by the dong?
No. Okay.
I'm confused. This is the problem with time travel. It confuses me and gives me headaches. I need some chocolate milk.
There was a candidate on stage who was giving a talk. And so there was a guy who was heckling him with a dong quadcopter drone, basically. It had a dildo on it.
Okay, I'm with
you. And there's a partial video of it. And I guess at some point after they pulled the copter out of the air, because they, of course, didn't want to fling dildo around, the guy ended up going up on stage and punched him, yelling, "He's a tyrant." He tried to swing at him and glanced off his arm. So
he did punch the mayoral candidate.
He did punch the mayoral
candidate. Just not with the dong.
Just not with the dong. Now, punching with the dong would have been awesome.
Punching with dongs would be a great indie band name. Wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. So, yeah. There you go. That's my WTF.
First album could be Quadcopter. Quadcopter by Punching with Dongs. So, all right. That's kind of cool. I'm in favor of politicians being mocked in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem.
Just not hit. You really shouldn't be hitting people. But yeah, if you want to mock them with a flying dildo, go right ahead.
I guess not. But see, imagine if you could go back in time and heckle politicians.
Oh, that would be. That'd be fun.
Can you imagine
what they were going to say, where they were going to go, what they were going to say, and just mock them relentlessly.
Go back to 1972 to the campaign. Stand out in the crowd with a sign that says "What's happening at Watergate?" as Nixon speaking, and just see what it does to him.
Oh yeah,
because it would freak him out.
Cuomo and his and all of the people he shuffled to the elderly home with the COVID that got sick and died and all that stuff.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Amazing thing about COVID and infectious diseases is if you put a bunch of old people at risk together with it, they die.
Yeah.
You got a book advance for that, you know that?
Yeah.
Big old boost. So up here, they've hit, well, across the country, Rod, they've hit on this idea of these vaccine lotteries. Have you seen these?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, giving away.
Our lovely governor, Gavin Newsom, is becoming like the one of the hosts of the Hunger Games, Caesar Flickerman.
Yep. May the odds ever be in your favor.
Pretty much.
It's great. You know, I didn't hate that movie as much as I thought I would. Just because of those scenes.
Yeah.
Those, I thought, oh God, my wife made me go see that because she wanted to go see it. She'd read the books and wanted to go see it. And I thought, you know, I love my wife dearly, which if I could go back in history, that is the one thing I would change. I would still love my wife. I would just, I guess I should clear this up.
I'm glad you qualified that.
I met my wife in 1985, 1986, I guess. And didn't marry her then. I would change that.
Okay.
I don't know what it would take to do that because she was actually in the process of marrying some other guy, but.
You would change things, Dave.
Yes, but how would that change the future? See, I don't know.
Would you have stepchildren that you have today?
Well, no. Would I have four daughters and a son? I don't know.
Maybe.
See, that's the thing. I know my life in the meantime would have been much better, but at any rate, I would have made some of the mistakes that I made along the way. So anyway, so these vaccine lotteries going on, right?
Yeah.
Which is giving away all kinds of Disneyland trips.
Yeah. Taxpayer money. No
taxpayer
less,
modern
sure.
dollars are being used for our, so we've decided up here, we're going to do this. So they had the governor announced this the other day, vaccine lotteries, and my local news, which I enjoy my local news because my local news, while certainly leaning left, has some people that clearly can be very sarcastic and very skeptical about things, and they don't hide it well, which I enjoy. So they're interviewing the lottery director because they got the lottery director on to talk about this new vaccine lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, so how are we paying for this? And I swear to God, I'm not making this up. The lottery director of the Washington State Lottery said, and I quote, "We don't know," which isn't even the best part of this. Okay. The best part of this, the part of this that had me saying WTF and still has me saying WTF, is the other anchor, when the interview was done, she was like, wait, go back to him. Because how do we know if we're entered in the lottery? I mean,
yeah,
we're vaccinated. Right?
Yeah.
How do we get entered in the lottery?
Are we in some kind of database that we don't know about?
As it turns out, Rob, yes, we are in a database that literally no one knew about.
Yeah.
Except the lottery director who knew about the database. And he says, oh, it's real simple. You go to this web address, enter your information. And it will confirm that you are entered or that you are not entered. You with me here so far?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm writing down the address. I'm typing it as I go because I want to go see. I don't talk about it because I don't need to tell everybody that I'm vaccinated. I just don't wear a mask. Anyway, so I go look at it and it says working. And the other host, the girl host, they come back in the next segment. And she's like, well, I can't get this to work. So the rest of the news broadcast turns into every anchor, every news person, every reporter, every traffic person, every media meteorologist saying, yeah, I can't get it to work either.
Yeah.
I got it to work. But guess what? Sorry. I'm not in the database.
Interesting.
Now, that's bad enough. So they're getting ready to do a lottery drawing for people that, you know, there's 4 million Washingtonians that have been vaccinated. Why am I not in the database? That's not even the best part, Rod. The part that really has me saying WTF and pisses me off. Sorry. I know WTF is supposed to be funny, but this one pisses me off. They got quote-unquote clarification later from the lottery director and from the guy that runs the Department of Health that has this website
mm-hmm.
with all your information on it. Veterans who got their shots through the VA
mm-hmm.
don't get entered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So not only are we spending taxpayer money on a ridiculous fiasco to try to get people to get vaccinated, not only are we spending money on it, but we're telling veterans who are being cared for by the VA system, which, let's face it, it's the VA system, we're telling them, you're not eligible. Which makes me say, WTF. Welcome back. It's What the Frock. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Cook, also known as Rod.
Also known as, a.k.a. Rod, Pope Roderick I. I think you should go with that.
Pope Roderick I.
There was actually a pope named Roderick. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I bet you he'd get a certificate.
He didn't go by, he actually named himself as a pope. He was Alexander, but his real name was Rodrigo
Borgia.
Rodrigo Borgia. And he was, he's an interesting character. Anyway, just Google it. You'll know what I'm talking about. So I think you could do that, Pope Rodrigo.
Yeah,
I'd take that.
I suppose.
I'd take that. So Rod sent me a story this week because we're still kind of wrapping up some things. I feel like it's the end of the year already. It's not.
No, it feels like it, though.
I feel like we should already starting to do end-of-year retrospectives. And you know, remember back in January when we were talking about – remember when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl? Did you see Helio Castroneves won the Indy 500 last week?
I didn't see that.
Okay, so I like the Indy 500. It's really the only race I watch. And for years, my favorite drivers have shifted. So I was a Mario Andretti guy when I was a kid. I was an A.J. Foyt guy. Never really cared for the Unsers, and I hated Johnny Rutherford. But I liked Rick Mears and Gordon Johncock. Man, that guy, I just want to punch in the nose with a dong. Anyway. Helio Castroneves back in the mid-2000s kind of became my guy. I really liked him. And the reason I liked him is because he just threw tradition to the wind, right? When he won the race, he stopped, he got out, and he climbed the wall with the fans, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to drive to victory lane and do all that stuff. Anyway, he won three back in the mid-late 2000s. And then he kind of faded, wasn't doing good. And this year, he actually got dropped by his main team. Last year, he used to drive for Penske, who now owns the Indianapolis Raceway, by the way.
Okay.
So Penske drops him, says, yeah, he's too old, man. I need younger drivers. So Helio hooks up with this other team to drive just Indianapolis. Right. That's all he's going to do is drive Jenny. He wins the race.
That's so funny.
So not only does he win the race, stop on a thing, climb this. He does all the stuff he does. Now he's a four-time winner, which there's only four of them, I think. He does that, and then he gets to accept the trophy from Roger Penske, the guy that fired him because he wanted younger guys. So he stands up. They're asking him, you know, they're doing the interview thing. He says, I don't know if I should say this or not, but Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. Phil Mickelson wins the Masters, and I win the Indianapolis 500. I guess all us old guys still got it going, huh? Which was great.
Burn.
Which was great. Anyway, I'm very happy to see this, but I feel like we should be doing a retrospective because it seems like months ago we were talking about this pipeline thing, but it really wasn't. It was just a few weeks ago, right?
It's something like that, yeah.
And we were talking about how the keyboard warriors were telling us, oh, this shouldn't be happening, and this is false, and don't they have people that can run this stuff? And we had a big discussion about that. But now it turns out, Rod, you sent me this story that there was a bigger problem. Yeah. With their security, which turns out to be,
it was basically an outdated VPN system that should have been turned off, but actually had an account that had that just used passwords, like a simple password.
So they logged into the VPN with a simple password.
Yeah.
Like 12345.
Potentially, I don't think they've come out and said what the password was.
But it could have been very simple.
Could have been very simple. And if it was an older system, they weren't monitoring it, more than likely. So what happens is you get what they call as a brute force attack, where someone can just keep trying passwords over and over again. They can iterate through passwords.
Which is why when you write your password, they want it to be yeah, capital super characters, complex. Lower characters, symbols, numbers,
passphrases,
and the important thing is not using the same password for every account.
Yes, that's a very good way to protect yourself, as to especially for your banking accounts. Don't use that password anywhere else but that bank.
So it turns out that basically everybody had this password to this VPN system that they were using to protect the Colonial Pipeline. I mean, for God's sakes, you probably had the password.
Or could find it, yeah.
So, realistically speaking here, what you need to understand, and I think the point we're trying to make here, is that these people were stupid.
Well, so bear in mind, yes, I mean, there were older practices back in the day, right? So people just did, it was a convenience, right? To either they didn't change the passwords, they weren't required to change passwords after they set up a device, or they left it the default so they could quickly set it up and get things going. And it just, they didn't have the security mindset that we have today. But that being said, it's an older system. They should have known that thing was still online.
But it would have been expensive to do that, Rod.
Any more expensive than what they just already are going to be paying?
Probably a lot less expensive than that. But so if you could go back in time, what would you say to them?
You know, well, I know if they could go back in time, what they'd do.
Yeah. It's like, man, what the hell are you thinking, people?
And not only did they pay the ransom, right? But now they're going to be, I think there's some legal liability here, because that is negligence, that they didn't take care of that.
Yeah, that's negligent. And the more that comes out on this, the more it's like PG&E a few years ago when they had the explosion. Turns out they were keeping their logs in erasable ink. You know, it's like, God bless America. It's just like,
but yeah, I think some heads are going to roll for that.
Or do you think they'll figure out a way to blame somebody else?
Oh, well, they'll try and blame somebody else.
Why isn't anybody blaming the terrorists for this?
Heads are going to roll anyway. Yeah.
And, of course, the Biden administration informed us this week that more of this is going to happen now.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because we paid them off, even though we stole the money back. Or somebody stole the money back. I shouldn't say we, because I didn't get any of it, but anyway, there you go. So the lesson of today, Rod Friar-Cook, security IT expert, is?
Change your passwords. Make sure you're using your passwords for specific sites. If it's a site you don't care about that's not going to collect a whole bunch of your information, feel free to reuse that one if you really want to. I mean, that's kind of what I do, is I just use a simple password for certain sites. But if it's anything with personal information, or if they're going to be collecting information on you, make sure you're using a unique password for each site on that, and especially for your banking. There's plenty of tools out there. I think we've talked about that before. I think one of my Friar side chats talked about the different tools to use for password management. So,
do you recommend using most of the browsers have a save your password system?
I don't recommend those. However, I use them myself for a lot of the sites.
Isn't that the dirty little secret? It'd be very hypocritical of me.
Yeah. I'm in the process of not using those. Yeah, and so it takes some time because I have so many freaking passwords. Right. So
you write them down. I have a book that has them written down.
I have a place that because I have to share them with my wife just in case for emergencies. Right. But I do share them with her. But there is another basically, here, let me look here. So Bitwarden is the software that I would recommend for passwords, and you can use that to share them with your significant other as well. So
there you go.
I'm in the process of migrating to that. So right now I do have a document where all my passwords are.
I have one of those too. My lawyer has it. Matt, the lawyer has it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's still locked in and safe. And there you go. All right, folks, protect yourselves. That's what we do. We're here to help. So I said earlier, Rod, in this show known as What the Frock, where I am Rabbi Dave.
And I am Friar Cook.
That June 6th is a fairly important day in my life. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's not my birthday.
Yeah.
It's not my birthday. Did I say that on the air? I don't remember if I said it on the show or not. I'm not going to go back and listen. So. Anyway, yeah. June 6th is a pretty important day. Not only is it the anniversary of D-Day, which is, of course, mm-hmm. one of the seminal events in all of history.
Yes.
If I could travel back in history and just observe.
Yeah.
Not participate, not change anything, just be invisible. And June 6th, 1944 is one of those days I would go back to. I want to yeah. see that. A few years ago, the movie Saving Private Ryan came out, and it was praised, universally praised, for its depiction of the violence of D-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is something that we lose. I mean, this I say this all the time. In this generation, we have no concept of what war actually is. We just don't. It might be an interesting thing to go back to that day. That's one of the days I would go back to. I would go back to a few others. I'd go back to I'd like to see the Battle of Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go back to meet or watch Galileo work. There's some things I'd like to go back to do.
You'd have to include, you know, the universal translator in that, so that way you could understand what they're saying.
Oh, too. I just want to watch. I don't really need to talk to Galileo. What would I say to him? Hey, I'm from the future. I'm here to tell you that you're right.
Not and so much to talk to him, but to just listen, to be able to understand what they're saying.
Right. Well, he wrote it all down. I have all the translations of the books, right?
Oh, okay.
Unless he's telling jokes or something about hitting the Pope in the face with a dong or something, which he
would
probably was.
Would you ask him about the code?
Yes, I would. Yes.
And Illuminati. How he got into the Vatican?
Illuminati. do you know anything about it? Anyway, D-Day is a pretty important day. It's also the day, technically, this is the day that the Battle of Midway ended. Although the real fight was on the 4th, I mean, it still kind of drifted onto this. And that was a turning point in history. But today is also, Rod, my parents' 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, well, congratulations.
60.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Now, when I was born, my dad was in his early 20s. I think he was 21. I've done the math. So by the time I actually really got to know my dad, he was almost 30. So there's really a missing 30 years of my parents' life that I really don't know anything about.
Sure.
I mean, I've heard some stories. I've, talked to some cousins and uncles and aunts and that sort of thing. But I don't really know anything about my parents before that.
Yeah, I was lucky. I was able to sit down with my grandparents and ask them about my dad. What kind of a kid was my dad? And, I got an earful.
That was so funny.
I was going through my grandfather's attic at one point, trying to help him when he was still with us clean out some things. And I came across my dad's high school report cards, which, I always kind of wondered why my dad wasn't really hard on me in high school, my grades and stuff. My first 2 years in high school, my grades were pretty good. My junior year, my grades were terrible because we got moved and I was pissed off and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, point being that I found his report cards and I discovered some things about my dad, who was pretty much a C student, as I recall. And it was noted that he was quite highly distracted by things, mostly cars and mechanics, that sort of thing. He got an A's in shop. But
okay, well, there you go.
But he loved that. Anyway, was saying earlier in the show, I don't know that I'd really want to go back and see my parents as kids. I just don't know. I think that would change my view of them, and I'm not sure I want that.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't.
60 years, though. That's great, though.
That's a long time, man. Think about it. What the world has changed in 60 years is utterly amazing. That was June 1961, right? That would be 60 years. So what was different if you could go back to June of 1961 in time travel, would you even recognize the world? Would somebody from today traveling back, I'm almost 60 myself. I mean, would that change the world? Would I even recognize it for what it was?
I don't know.
I mean, I go back and read newspapers from back then because I like to do that. And the world.
Would you go to the grassy knoll?
That's a good question. Would I go to the grassy knoll? In practice, probably not. I'll tell you why, because I don't believe that there was a shooter from the grassy knoll. I'll tell you where I would go is the sixth floor of the depository. because that would settle it, wouldn't it? I mean, if you could walk in there and see Lee Harvey Oswald shooting from the sixth floor window, you'd know for sure that that was it. I tend to believe that anyway, because I'm not an insane conspiracy theorist, but at the same time, some people are. And no, I think that's where I would go. But I also would like to go back to, I would like to go to my parents' wedding.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of cool. I'm one of the few people that have been both of my wife's weddings. So to go to my parents' wedding would be kind of.
Yeah.
Man, can you see that standing there in your tux as you're there for the whole thing? Are you in front of the bride and groom or the groom?
Both.
Yeah.
Do I have to pick a side?
You know what would be fascinating about that is not so much my parents as my grandparents. Seeing them there would be, because then that would be a conversation you could have.
Oh yeah,
we know you. You look familiar. This is like right out of freaking Mill Valley, man. You look really familiar to me. Do I know your parents? I'd say you do. But hey, I've seen this one before. This is a rerun.
Yeah,
that would be an interesting conversation, wouldn't it?
It would.
So anyway, I don't know that would be. Well, it can't be done. And how would you do it without changing anything?
It'd be hard.
So I should warn you guys about this and this.
Yeah.
And someday when you're...
You might want to invest in this. You know, there's a company called IBM that...
or someday Microsoft. Your son is going to ask you for a calculator. And you're going to say no. But you really should say yes. History would be changed because all of a sudden Dave would actually be a math genius instead of a math bozo. And the world would be changed once and for all. Hey, folks, don't forget to go to our website, whatthefrock.org. You can get all the shows there.
Yeah.
You can leave comments there. You can send us emails, my email, the show email. We shouldn't give out individual, right? It's a show email, WTF@whatthefrock.org.
Yeah.
It's come to us. If you just wanted to go to Rod, you can send it to rod@wtf.org or whatthefrock.org.
Yeah.
Or if you just want me to see it, dave@whatthefrock.org.
Yeah.
And we'd be happy to hear from you. But what we really need you to do is go on iTunes, rate the show, give us a 5, say whatever you want to say in the reviews. Frankly, nobody cares. It's just that rating part. It's like Navy reviews. The only thing that matters is the numbers.
Yeah.
All the write-up stuff. Petty Officer Bowman is whatever. But he's a 4-0 sailor. That's all that really counts. anyway, so rate, like, review, and of course, share the show. That's what we
Please
really
do.
Need. We really need people to share. Because the social media algorithms, folks, are all based on – did you know this? Did you know if you hit like on a post, it doesn't do anything?
You have to share it.
No, you have to put that wow guy or the cares or love. Liking us doesn't do any good. You either have to love us, care us about us, or wow for it to really affect the algorithm at all.
Hmm.
I learned that this week. And of course, comments always help. Comments.
Well, at least, I mean, it's that way for right now. They'll change it again.
Right, it will. But for right now, we need you to do that. Just write a comment in there. Hi, just love us. Dave and Rod. This is a comment.
Care about us.
Yeah. We care about you. We love you. We would time travel anywhere with you guys. Would be kind of cool. You could do any of that kind of stuff. You can like us, rate us, share us, review us. All of that helps. Push us and make us much more wealthy than we are. If we could go back in history, we would change it at the beginning so that we would say that from the beginning instead of trying to catch up later, but at least I would.
Send us dong coppers.
Oh God, that would be so great. One of the hardest parts of this show, Rod, is writing the title for the show, choosing the title for the show. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
People don't realize how much work goes into some of this stuff. And like today, the working title of the show is what? Tomorrow is yesterday, because we were going to talk about time travel.
Yeah.
That's going out the window.
Yeah.
You know that the title of today's show is Dong Copter.
Dong Copter. Duh, duh, duh.
Has to be. So. Because anything else would just not be up to untouching. That's a little inside baseball. Now you know how we work. So please like us, rate us, share us, comment, and please love us, people. Please love us.
Please care.
Please care. Please. I'm Rabbi Dave.
Friar Cook.
And this has been
What the Frock?